Welcome to 89.1 FM WBOI. It's 12:06 and it's time for Health 360 Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and I hope you'll join today's conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-471-9264, post on our Midday Matters Facebook page, or you can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. My co-host, Dr. Peter Rothman, is out this week. He'll be back next Wednesday. Our topic of conversation today is something that many of us suffer from, spring allergies. If you have a question or comment, we hope you do get on the phone lines and give us a call. And in the studio this afternoon to guide those questions and comments throughout today's program is Dr. Douglas Neild. He is with the Lutheran Medical Group. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
So I imagine this is about the time that your office starts to get some activity. People are starting to sneeze and cough and wheeze with allergies.
It's been going on for about a month, and I think it's intensified in the last week or two.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, first, how spring allergies may be different from fall allergies. What are the spring allergies that are most common that people are affected by?
The spring allergies, the first thing that starts is the tree pollen, and it can be out as early as March.
Wow.
Usually it's out in some, you know, a little bit, at least in March. It starts to pick up towards the end of March and into April. This year is probably going more towards a normal script and maybe being a little bit later. Last year, if you remember, we had a 10-day stretch in mid-March that was 80 degrees every day, and the tree pollen came out with a bang. The grass pollen came out early. So last year's spring pollen season was much more intense and much longer than what we're experiencing this year.
Okay. If you have a question or comment, I just want to remind our listeners that you can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. How is the state of Indiana doing in comparison to other states in the United States? Are we faring better or worse with allergies this season?
Well, again, I think it's starting a little bit later than it did last year. So if people were benchmarking against last year, we'd be a lot better. You know, you have some people that say traveled over spring break, they go south, they go into Tennessee, into Georgia, into Florida, and they can get exposed to a lot of the pollen down there, you know, a month before we have it up here. And for those people, their nose gets primed. So even once they come home and the pollen counts aren't that bad here, they're miserable for the rest of the spring.
And what does that term prime mean for folks that may not know at home?
It's like it's priming the pump. And once you prime the pump, it's very hard to turn it off. If you've ever used like an old pump out on a farm to pump water, once you get it going, you can stop and it'll go for a little while. And that's the same way with the nose. Once you get the nose gets primed with that pollen, it takes very little pollen after that on a daily basis to keep the same intensity of symptoms going.
So if somebody is new to having allergies, they've never had allergies before and they're adults, what are some of the symptoms that they should be aware of that they're feeling miserable, that this might actually be related to allergies?
Well, most people would initially think that they just have a cold that's not going away. So it's going to be nasal congestion, sneezing, itchy eyes, itchy nose, sometimes an itchy palate, itchy mouth. Lots of clear secretions. You won't have a fever associated with it or a low-grade temperature. So they're very similar to cold symptoms, but it lasts. It lasts more than 5 to 7 days.
Mm-hmm. So if you're having those symptoms after 5 or 7 days, it's time to go see the doctor.
It's time to start thinking that it might not just be a cold. You might need to do something about it.
Well, what are some of the first steps for folks that are listening out there and can already feel their allergies kind of creeping in with either sneezing or coughing? What should their first steps be? Is it over the counter? Is there any home remedies that they should first try before going to the doctor?
You can try some of the over the counter medicines now are used to be prescription. Things like Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin, those are all prescription, or used to be prescription antihistamines. And they work really pretty well for milder cases. There's some good eye drops that are over-the-counter now that used to be prescription. One of them, it's got a big, long name called Ketotifen.
Mm-hmm.
Goes by the brand name of Alloway, Zyrtec, I think Zatador is another one. Those used to be prescription eye drops, and those are nice drops to use. Something that people don't often think about is lifestyle. And we get to the springtime, Well, what do we want to do? We want to get outside. We want to open the windows. We want to do all the things that are going to be bad for somebody that's if they're pollen or mold sensitive. So leaving the windows closed, you know, running the air conditioner, running fans, purifying the air inside is going to be the best thing you can do. If you are sensitive to pollens or molds, you don't really want to go for maybe your run, say from like 8 to 11 in the morning, okay? Or actually, 8 to 11 in the morning is going to be a better time for you, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Later in the afternoon when the pollen's been out, and that's not going to be good for you to do it at that time. So getting out right away first thing in the morning before the pollen counts rise. So there's a few things like that that you can do that will help to cut down on your exposure. Mm-hmm. And that's what's called an avoidance measure. Because when you have the allergies like this, you either avoid it, you medicate it, or you use allergy shots. Mm-hmm. You know, people are asking me, well, doc, what's that fourth one? What's the magic bullet? But there really isn't a magic bullet. And I think a lot of people don't pay attention to some avoidance measures. Say, for instance, driving with in your car, instead of the windows down, you know, you adjust the temperature of your air conditioner so that you're comfortable inside. Mm. It's not fun for people because they've been cooped up all winter and they want to get outside.
Right. Yes. I am one of those. I notice that my eyes are far less itchy when I drive with the windows rolled up. But I do. I want to go outside. I want to get some of that sunshine. And if you're one of those folks, too, that you suffer from spring allergies and you have a question or comment, now's the time to call. The phone lines are wide open. You can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264. You can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or you can post right on our Midday Matters Facebook page. So we've talked a little bit about how the weather has affected allergy season since it's been cold forever and it's now just starting to warm up. How do people, does the rain play a role at all with allergy season and washing away this pollen?
Well, the rain can help to wash pollen away temporarily, but then what it does is it just, you know, gives more fuel for the plants to grow to produce more pollen. It also can affect the mold counts. So if people are allergic to pollens and molds, it doesn't matter if it's a wet day or if it's a dry day, they're going to get hit by one or the other. So the longer the growing season or the more water, the more pollen that can be produced.
And I suppose when somebody comes to your office to get treated for allergies, one of the first things that you do is do an allergy test, or?
It usually depends on the patient, mm-hmm. you know, if they want to be tested or not. At some point, if you think you have allergies and you've used the over-the-counter medicines, and maybe you've gone to your family doctor and they've given you what are called nasal steroids or some of these other prescription nasal sprays. And if you're doing those things and you're still not getting the relief you want, you probably need to be tested to know exactly what's going on. It's always helpful for me to know, well, is somebody really allergic to tree pollen or molds in the spring? Or are they really allergic to the family cat? Or to the dust mites? Do they need to get a new mattress? So there's a lot of things that can be done to manipulate the environment, or at least to have the knowledge to know how to use the medications more effectively.
We have a caller on line one. Daniel, welcome to Health 360.
Yes, thank you. And my question is based on, you know, how plants grow in certain climate zones, I guess you might call them, or biome ranges geographically?
Yes.
So what do we need to be on the lookout for as those different zones are tending to trend north because of changes in climate? New pollens or different allergens that might be changing for us?
Daniel, usually it doesn't amount to that there's a lot of new pollen in the area. What usually that amounts to is that the pollen seasons come sooner and they last longer. And that's what we're finding is like ragweed season in the fall is lasting, you know, well into September to October, when usually it was done by maybe mid to late September. And last year was a good case of that. We had such a big warm up in March. We had an awful pollen season that we had grass pollen out 6 weeks early last year compared to this year. So usually it doesn't amount to like a new species or a new strain of pollen, but it just amounts to longer growing seasons, more intense pollen seasons.
Thanks for your call, Daniel. And if you have a call, or if you have a question, give us a call, 1-800-471-9264. You can always post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or email us. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah DeLeon, and in the studio with me is Dr. Douglas Neild. He's with the Lutheran Medical Group, and he's helping answer your allergy questions. So if you're somebody who suffers from spring allergies and you'd like to ask him something, do give us a call. Lynn wrote in and asked if we could talk maybe a little bit about the differences between allergies and sinus headaches. Is that a symptom of, are sinus headaches a symptom of allergies, and what can you do to prevent them? Are they two different things?
They can be two different things. And just right off the top, 70 to 90% of people that come either to an allergist or an ENT for sinus headaches, they're actually migraines. It's a type of migraine headache. Some people call them migraine variants. Other people just call it a migraine. It might not necessarily be on one side of the head, and you might not necessarily have the light sensitivity, the sound sensitivity, or nausea, vomiting like some migraine patients have. You might have maybe mild components of that. It might be the pain and a lot of pressure centered over the front of the face. And usually you figure this out by figuring out, well, are they allergic or not? Because allergic people have more than their fair share of migraines. Some studies estimate maybe double the incidence of the general population. So you find out if you're allergic or not. And then at some point, you start to look to see, are you having sinus infections or not? And you figure that out typically with the CT scan of the sinuses. So say, for instance, somebody comes in and they say, I think I have another sinus infection. I have all this pain and pressure, and I have a little bit of drainage, and you get a sinus CT, and it's completely normal, and you know that they're an allergic person. Well, then that's typically what you would call a migraine variant headache. And they're not going to get better until typically they treat for migraine, at least the people that come to see me. You might be able to get by with, you know, some over-the-counter, you know, ibuprofen or naproxen or something like that. But if you start to use this on a more frequent basis, more than once a week, then it's probably time to start seeing somebody for it. But oftentimes we have to treat those people with migraine medicines to get them better.
For somebody that is just kind of starting off with allergies, are there medicines over the counter that you recommend over another one? Or do you tell people to go to a certain brand first?
Not necessarily a certain brand. Zyrtec is used quite a bit. Allegra is used quite a bit. Claritin is used quite a bit. All of those are, they all have a little bit, you know, of differences in terms of dosing. Differences in terms of, say, like, do they have children's syrup or not? Minor differences in side effects. You know, Zyrtec might make maybe a few more people sleepy than, say, something like Allegra or Claritin, but it seems like all of them have the potential to make people sleepy, much less so, though, than Benadryl.
We need to take a quick break here on Health 360, but we'll be back in just a few moments. In the meantime, you can give us a call with any questions that you have for Dr. Neild. We'll be glad to put you through when we come back from this break. The number to call, 1-800-471-9264. You can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post right on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. It's 1220, and this is 89.1 FM, WBOY Fort Wayne.
On the next Fresh Air, how Wall Street defanged Dodd-Frank. Gary Rivlin tells us how this Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which was signed into law 3 years ago, has subsequently been attacked and weakened by financial industry lobbyists and lawyers. It's the subject of Rivlin's article in The Nation. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Randy Newman never considered himself a rock star. He's had his hits, I Love L.A., but maybe better known as the king of TV theme songs and film scores, and says he was surprised when he found out he'd be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He told Rolling Stone, "I thought I'd have to die first." I'm Neil Cunningham. Randy Newman joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Thousands of artworks that Nazis plundered from European Jews have yet to be claimed. Now French authorities are renewing their efforts to find the owners and their descendants.
I only wish my grandfather were here to be able to be part of all this, but I'm sure he's watching from somewhere upstairs.
That story today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Cameron Memorial Community Hospital, providing health and wellness services in the spirit of charity, concern, and excellence, serving Steuben County and surrounding areas. Information at CameronMCH.com. Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matter here on WBOY. It's 12:23, and if you have a question or comment, we'd love for you to join today's conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and with me in the studio this afternoon for the whole hour of the program is Dr. Douglas Neild. He's with the Lutheran Medical Group, and he's helping answer your questions on spring allergies. So if you're somebody who suffers from them and you'd like to share your story, we'd love to hear from you and join the conversation. One thing I wanted to make sure that we focus a little bit on today, Dr. Neild, is allergy shots. What are they for folks that are unaware of what they are? How would you define them?
Allergy shots are an immunization against what people are allergic to. And you can only do it for certain substances. And that brings up another point. A lot of people think that, well, everybody's allergic to something. And that's not necessarily true. And for those of us that are allergic, it's typically things that are naturally occurring, you know, not man-made chemicals, things like that. That's pretty unusual to be allergic to those things. So it's things like, you know, tree and grass pollen, weed pollens in the fall, or molds, animal danders, you know, a variety of animal danders. If you live out in a farm, you could be allergic to farm animals, dust mites, cockroaches. So there's a great diversity of different things that we get exposed to that you can develop an allergy to. And when you do allergy shots, you're being given extracts of what you're allergic to. So if you're allergic to cat, you're actually getting extracts of cat dander or to dog dander or to the weed pollens or to the tree pollens. And it's all very specific. It's if you're allergic to oak tree pollen, well, you get oak tree pollen extract. You don't get, you know, pine pollen that's growing somewhere in the south. So it's very specific. It's based on testing to know what you're allergic to. And over time, you start with low doses and gradually build this up over time. And over time, then you're immunized against what you're allergic to. So it downregulates this whole allergic response. You know, it's not quite the same as a tetanus shot, okay? But it works along some of the same principles. You can't just get one every 10 years, though.
Well, that's too bad. We're going to get back to allergy shots in just a moment, but we have Lena on line one. Welcome to Health 360.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to interject a comment here if it's of any assistance to anyone else. I've suffered from hay fever and spring allergies my whole life. Mm-hmm. And only I used to be sort of drugged up on Benadryl as a child, sleeping away most of the summer. And since I've given up dairy the last 4 years, it is a marked difference. And I'd suggest to anybody who suffers from allergies just to give it a trial of giving up dairy and seeing how it helps them.
That's interesting. Dr. Neild, have you found that adjustments in one's diet, like cutting out dairy, is helpful to some folks?
Dairy is one of those foods that causes the production of mucus. Mm. So if you've ever noticed that, like, you've had milk and then you have that, like, phlegmy feeling in your throat, you're producing mucus. It's dairy products are what we call, a doctor would call, a mucus secretagogue. It is something that causes the secretion of mucus. So if you already have mucus there and you're drinking dairy, you're just going to add to the problem. So for some people, as simple as taking dairy out of their diet will make a marked difference in their symptoms. But it's not an allergic response.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Would that mean that she was allergic? You skin test 100 people, and most of the time, none of them are going to be allergic to dairy, but they will find that when they take that out of their diet, they feel better.
Thanks for your call, Lena, and if that helps anyone, that would be thank you for shedding some light on that as well. 1-800-471-9264 is the number to call right now if you'd like to be a part of today's program. We are about halfway through, and we're spending the whole hour talking about spring allergies. If you are affected by them or you have a loved one that's affected by them, you know that it's no joke, and you can be pretty miserable if you don't treat them properly. We're talking a little bit about allergy shots right now. We're talking a little bit about the basic definition about them, what they do, who they help. When does it get so bad that you turn to allergy shots? I mean, does it have to be more of a dire situation to go through that?
No, not at all. It really doesn't have to be a dire situation. Some people view it as like, well, that's a last resort, mm-hmm. and it really shouldn't be viewed that way. You should view it that if you're trying to avoid it, you're medicating it, and you are still symptomatic more than 6 months out of the year, you'd be a candidate, okay? And we use shots for hay fever, allergic, what we call allergic rhinoconjunctivitis, or asthma. So, and there are actually studies in children that go back to the 60s, and these have been replicated a couple times since then, that when we start children on allergy shots, when they only have allergic rhinitis, they have a lower incidence of developing asthma. Mm. So it's the only thing that we know of that could ever prevent the development of asthma. So it's a wonderful therapy. Kids do great on it. I mean, they get the knockout punch with allergy shots. Whereas if you're an adult and you've had this stuff for 20 years, you can get better, but you still might not get to the point where you feel like you don't have anything at all and don't require any medicines and that. Mm-hmm. So kids do great on this.
And I'm sure if you start a child early enough, the goal is to eventually get them off using the allergy shots as much?
Okay. Yes, yeah. The initial goal is to get them feeling better so that they don't need so much medicine, so the medicines can be start to cut back. And then eventually, you try to get them off the shots. Mm-hmm. And for most people, you know, 5 to 7 years of allergy shots is usually sufficient to get them to the point where they can stop and not have the symptoms all come back. Mm-hmm. But about maybe as high as 20-30% of people can have a recurrence of their symptoms. Unfortunately, we can't predict who's going to fall into those boats.
How often, if I was somebody that was coming in to see you for an allergy to pollen and I was getting allergy shots, how often would I come and see you?
Well, shots can, there's a couple of different shot schedules you can use. In our office, we do, you know, we still do the tried and true once or twice a week to get people built up. And that can take, you know, several months. 6, 8, 10 months sometimes to get people built up before they start to go every other week and then gradually every 3, every 4. There's a lot of people, and I do this too, do what are called cluster immunotherapy, cluster shots, where you'll come in and in an afternoon or in a morning, you'll get a series of shots, say like 3 to 4 shots at half hour intervals. So you're in the office a little bit longer, but the bonus is that you get built up much quicker. Mm-hmm. So say in 4 weeks, you could do what it would take 4 months to do with regular shots. Plus, people seem to get results faster with this method of immunotherapy. So that's another option that you can get built up a little bit quicker and get results faster.
Mm-hmm. And are there any risks to the allergy shots? I know a lot of people are, you know, worried about side effects when they are getting a needle injected with things in them.
Every time you get an allergy shot, and what this is the traditional allergy shots, you know, we're giving you something you're allergic to. So there's always the risk that you're going to have an allergic reaction to the shot. And that's why you wait for a half hour. 90 to 95% of shot reactions are going to occur within that first 20 to 30 minute time window. So that's why you're being watched. Potentially, you could have all the same symptoms that you're being treated for and then some. You could have what we call an anaphylactic reaction. And something like what would happen with somebody with a bee sting. You maybe get tight, you might develop hives all over, sick to your stomach. Those things happen, but fortunately they're very unusual. They're not common, okay? You can have maybe a mild stuffy nose after a shot that maybe you need an extra antihistamine, but the full-blown anaphylactic reactions are probably less than, or maybe like 1 or 2 per 100 at most. And they're usually very treatable as long as we recognize them early.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break for the news here on Health 360 Midday Matters. But in the meantime, while the news is playing, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-471-9264. We're discussing spring allergies, and if you suffer from them or have a loved one that does, you know that they're no joke. And if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 1-800-471-9264. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. It's 12:32, and I'm Sarah D'Elia, and we'll be back in just a few moments here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's Top Campaign Committee Award recipient, GMFWA Truck Assembly Plant UAW Local 2209. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. Governor Mike Pence is ready to veto his first measures since taking office in January. The freshman governor said he would announce which bills he is opposing today. Pence declined to say Tuesday which bills he is vetoing, but he reiterated concerns with the measure shifting power from Indianapolis's Democrat-controlled city-county council to Republican Mayor Greg Ballard. He also expressed concerns with a plan to loan the Indianapolis Motor Speedway $100 million for improvements. Governor's vetoes do not hold as much weight in Indiana as they do in other states. A simple majority is needed in both the House and Senate to override a veto. Lawmakers plan to return for one day of work June 12th to consider overrides and technical corrections. Five of the seven Indianapolis school corporations appealing to voters for additional funding succeeded at the ballot box Tuesday. Most of the approved referenda passed by substantial margins, but at least one race was much closer. As State Impact Indiana's Ellie Moxley reports, every vote counted in a campaign to raise additional funds for schools in Boone Township.
Four more votes. That's all it would have taken to tie a close election in Porter County Tuesday night. The Metropolitan School District of Boone Township asked voters to approve a 23-cent tax levy increase. 543 said yes, 547 said no. Boone Township already has one of the highest tax rates in the state, nearly $2.50 per $100 of assessed valuation. But Superintendent George Lent says it hasn't been enough to make up a shortfall in funding from the state.
Once again, funding for education depends on where you live. And I don't know why the legislature does not ever get that point across, that there's still unequal funding in the school districts in Indiana.
Lett says Boone Township has tried to solve its money troubles with budget cuts. This year, the district courted 80 students from outside its boundaries so it would receive additional funding and transfer tuition. Now Lett says he'll have to cut 9 teachers to make up the difference. The Knox Community School Corporation also saw its referendum fail Tuesday. The district had hoped to add a new wing to its elementary school that was constructed in the 1950s. But voters in Hamilton Southeastern, Noblesville, Bar Reeve, Munster, and Union Township all approved their local district's proposals. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Ellie Moxley.
And Indiana's bee populations are taking a hit from a mysterious disorder that's devastating bee colonies across the nation. Dr. Greg Hunt of Purdue University says that Indiana's beekeepers are reporting a 30% decline of bees in their colonies. The culprit is colony collapse disorder, which causes worker adult bees to leave hives in droves only to be found dead elsewhere. Since 2006, an estimated 10 million beehives worth about $2 billion have been lost. Hunt says there are numerous reasons for the bee decline, but they are mostly due to parasitic mites. He says researchers are trying to breed bees that can kill the mites and perhaps reverse the trend. Bees help pollinate fruits, vegetables, and other crops worth about $200 billion a year. Today in Fort Wayne, we have a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny skies and a high of 75. And this evening, we have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms until 10 p.m. Expect partly cloudy skies and a low of 55. Looking at Thursday, we have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 77. And tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll have a low of 58. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOY.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. It's 12:37, and if you have a question or comment, we're talking about spring allergies for about the next 24 minutes on the program. Give us a call, 1-800-471-9264. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me this afternoon is Dr. Douglas Neild. He's with the Lutheran Medical Group here in Fort Wayne. And we're helping, Dr. Neild is helping to answer your questions about spring allergies. So do get in touch if you'd like to ask him a question and see if we can help out in any way. We did have a caller during the break, right, or leave a message and say that he lives in a neighborhood where they cut down trees and use the stump as mulch. The next morning after they did this, the caller was hoarse, lost his voice. Did cutting down the tree and using it for mulch contribute to allergies that he was in turn suffering from?
This is a good question, because a lot of people pose this to me, like people that say do woodworking or, you know, handle wood and that. And the part of the tree that is allergenic is the pollen. It's what comes out in the buds in the spring. The same allergens are not found, say, for instance, like to the same degree in the bark or in the wood itself. So people can, you know, they can cut these things down, and it's not the wood or the wood shavings that are bothering them. If it bothers them, it's just because it's an organic dust and they're inhaling the dust. But it's kind of doubtful that using the stump as mulch would have caused an allergic response, if you follow me. If you get enough dust in your nose, it's like pepper in your nose. You're going to sneeze, your nose is going to plug, and you're going to run. And if you get enough drainage down the back of your throat, then you might get a little bit hoarse with it, but most likely not an allergic response.
1-800-471-9264 is the number to call. If you have a question or comment, the lines are wide open waiting for you. Let's talk a little bit about some home remedies that I know people are very into home remedies, like to try that sometimes first before taking actual medication, especially allergy medication that sometimes has a reputation for causing drowsiness.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any that actually work or that you recommend for folks?
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of people tell me, like, oh, I eat pollen or eat honey from hives that are in the region, and they say they feel better. I really don't know how that works. I've never seen any studies that would validate that as a bona fide, you know, treatment. But I suppose if it helps you, then go ahead, you know, and try it. I would caution, though, that if you're not getting better, don't just try different types of honey. It's probably not going to work, okay? And you might have trouble getting honey from local populations, because the story we just heard is the bee populations are down 30%.
Yes. So,
another thing you can do is just use saline sprays in your nose. And these come in a variety of different forms, whether it's a pressurized canister of saline or little pump bottles, or a neti pot, or what we call saline lavage. And what it does is it just rinses out your nose. It washes all the pollens and all the dust and all the particulate matter that collects in your nose. And if you do that, you know, once or twice a day during the springtime, if you're allergic to the pollens, that's going to help some. Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely will help some.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question or comment, remember that phone line is 1-800-471-9264, and we are focusing on spring allergies during the rest of our time on Health 360 Midday Matters today. We wanted to shift the conversation a little bit to asthma and its relationship to allergies. What is the relationship?
Well, asthma is an inflammatory disease of the airways that has a lot of different triggers. And for a good percentage of asthmatics, they have allergies that trigger their asthma. The younger the population, the more likely it is that asthma is being triggered by allergies, down to about age 4 or so. The little ones, the infants and the neonates and the young toddlers, it's mostly infection that triggers their asthma at that age. But once they get to be 4 to 6 or over, probably as many as 85 to 90% of those children are going to have allergies as part of their triggers. So, for instance, they go and stay over at somebody's house, and there's a cat at the house, and they end up with an asthma attack. It could have been, you know, if they're allergic to the cat could have precipitated an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
So asthma's got a lot of triggers, allergy being one. Infections are the other big triggers for asthma. Cold air can trigger it. In the wintertime, people get out and shovel their snow. That can trigger it. Exercise can trigger it. Reflux can trigger it. Reflux can cause chronic coughs as well. Certain medications that are used for blood pressure can trigger asthma. So asthma has a lot of different triggers, but whenever I evaluate a patient for asthma, I always want to know, well, is allergy one of them? Because whenever you evaluate asthma, you want to find out what triggers are. So people can, knowledge is power there. Mm-hmm. So the more they know about what triggers or what makes it worse, if they can possibly avoid it, that's good. If they can't, they know, then they need to medicate.
We're going to get back to our asthma and allergy conversation in just a moment, but we have a caller on the line that has a question about developing adult onset allergies. Thomas, welcome to Health 360 Midday Matters.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
You can go on with your question.
Yeah, great. So I just have been noticing lately that I've been waking up in the mornings with a lot of sinus pressure and, clear mucus, not from an infection. And I just wasn't sure if that could be allergy related.
Well, is this something that's just happened like within the last month, or is this something you've been dealing with for several months?
It's been going on for a few months, not in the typical allergy season time. Like I think noticed it first in February.
Okay. Well, as an adult, I mean, you can develop allergies at any age. I mean, I've seen it in, for instance, the latest I saw it was an 84-year-old woman, never been sick a day in her life, you know, only in the hospital to deliver babies. And one spring, she started to sneeze and wheeze. And sure enough, she was allergic to spring pollen and had asthma and allergic rhinitis. That's the exception. That's not the rule. Mm-hmm. But you can develop allergies at any age. Another thing to think about is, well, if it is an allergy, you would expect that it's something inside. If it doesn't have a season. So it could be, and the biggest things that come to mind are pets, or dust mites, or possibly even cockroaches. We all get exposed to cockroaches as much as we don't like to think about it, but we all get exposed. So I would be thinking that if you are allergic, it's an inside allergen. There is another condition that can occur while you're an adult that mimics allergy, and it's called non-allergic rhinitis. And it almost is the exact same, except maybe you don't sneeze quite as much. But pain and pressure, congestion, drainage would all be a part of it. Testing shows that you're not allergic to anything. And we think it's some mechanisms in the nose that actually start to wear out over time. And it's almost like taking your foot off the brake pedal in the car, and your nose just wants to run. The counterbalance to keeping it from running too much and not enough, open and not open enough, we seem to kind of lose that, some individuals. So that's a condition that mimics allergy, but the good news is there are some medications for it. So yeah, it's possible.
I asked my doctor, and it said that I had been taking some Sudafed for that, and he said, you might want to lay back on that. Would you agree?
Yeah, Sudafed, all it does is just open your nose up temporarily. It's not really a medicine designed to be used for any kind of long-term problems. The more you use it, the more your nose actually might become dependent on it, kind of like with Afrin. So you might have, it can sometimes feed in with headaches. If the pressure, develops on into headaches, it can cause blood pressure problems. It can cause tachycardia or a fast heart rate. In older men, it can cause prostatism or aggravate prostatism. So Sudafed does have a lot of side effects. Mm-hmm. So I tend to shy away from it.
Okay, good.
Doug, Thomas, did you get an allergy test?
No, I didn't. Should I?
Well, it depends on, I guess, how long it's going on. And if your doctor, you might talk to your doctor about, there's some nasal sprays that might help. There's other medications that might help besides just Sudafed. And if you're not getting relief and it's still bothering you, you might consider getting allergy tested.
Now what if it's not that big of a deal, where it's not a pain? Some days it's worse than others, but I think, I could kind of power through it. Could that develop into a more severe symptom down the road, or might it just correct itself?
It might correct itself. It might just stay static, stay the same, and then again, it could get worse. I mean, there's really no good way to predict that. Even with people that I know that are allergic, I can't ever predict that, like, oh, this year you're going to be a lot worse, or next year you're going to start getting better. The body has a way of sometimes in allergic people of almost curing itself, and we don't understand it. We wish we did, because if we understood that, we'd have a better treatment for allergic disease. Right. So I can't ever predict that. If, you know, my suggestion is if it gets bad enough, then you get more help.
Good. Awesome. Well, thanks so much I appreciate it.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Well, Thomas raises up a really great point. What are the long-term effects of not getting your allergies treated if you're somebody that has chronic allergies and you kind of just power through it, like Thomas kind of just said? I mean, are you putting yourself at risk for greater health problems down the line?
Potentially. And it could come in a couple of different forms. One, complications from the disease. If you don't treat allergic rhinitis, say, for instance, hay fever in the fall, a lot of people will end up with sinus infections. And sinus infection, say, just after ragweed season, in some people goes on to stay around for months. And they might end up needing surgery because they didn't treat the underlying problem. And with asthma, if you don't treat asthma, if you don't get it under control, there's evidence that you can, you know, have scarring in the lungs that at some point is irreversible. No matter how much medicine you take, you'd never be able to get your lung functions back to a normal range. So you can have the problem itself get worse, and you could have complications of the underlying problem. And then again, you could have a problem with the over-the-counter medications that you take to try to take care of it.
1-800-471-9264 is the number to call if you'd like to ask a question or you have a comment about spring allergies. Maybe something has worked for you that you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-800-471-9264. You can always post on our Midday Matters Facebook page. It's Midday Matters. Or you can email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm, and we'd be happy to read your email over the air. So getting back to asthma, do you usually see asthma in younger children, or can it affect anyone across the age range?
It can affect anyone across the age range. And usually you don't call it asthma when they're really young. Say, for instance, they've had, you know, their first episode of wheezing and coughing. Say you have a toddler that's 14 months old. You wouldn't call it asthma at that age. You would call it asthma after you've seen a pattern. Say, like, every time they get a head cold, they cough and they wheeze, and it lasts, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And this is their fifth episode of it. Mm-hmm. Well, then you start thinking, okay, this is probably asthma, and you can call it that, and then you can start treating it as such. In children, in young children in that age group, it's almost always infection that triggers it. Usually you don't have allergies starting to trigger asthma until they get a little bit older, 3 to maybe 4, 5, 6, up in that age range. Mm-hmm. But it can happen. It can happen at any age.
Mm-hmm. But asthma, like allergies, is something, I mean, that you can outgrow. Is that correct?
The term I would use is that it could go into remission.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like a lot of people say, well, they bring me their child and they say, well, he outgrow this. And it's like, well, the only thing I can tell you he's going to outgrow for sure are those clothes that he's wearing. Because, you know, you just can't predict that. You know, if it goes into remission, that's wonderful. And again, there's that happens with people, and we don't quite understand what's going on there. You know, what are the immune changes that are happening for asthma to go away, or for hay fever symptoms to go away? We'd love to know that, because we'd have better therapies for it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioning that, you know, parents bringing in their younger children to get treated for things like asthma, which are allergy related. Does family history play at all into allergies?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have, say, like a parent, the studies with allergic rhinitis or hay fever is that if one parent has, you know, allergic rhinitis, the child's got about maybe, you know, up to a 30% risk of having allergic rhinitis at some point in their life. If both parents have it, then it jumps to over to 50%. It's maybe as high as 60 to 65% risk that the child will have it too. If neither parent has it, it's in the about the same as the general population, which is about 15% to 20% risk.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I guess that's good news that if you do keep track of your family history, you can kind of know.
You can know what's coming.
and then maybe prepare yourself a little bit.
Yeah, and then it's not so much of a surprise.
Okay. You can have find a good doctor for when it starts to kick in.
That's right.
We need to take a quick break here on Health 360 Midday Matters, but we'll be back in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. MiddayMatters@NIPR.FM is our email address, or you can post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. We'll be right back. It's 1251, and this is 89.1 FM.
On the next Fresh Air, how Wall Street defanged Dodd-Frank. Gary Rivlin tells us how this Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which was signed into law 3 years ago, has subsequently been attacked and weakened by financial industry lobbyists and lawyers. It's the subject of Rivlin's article in The Nation. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Actual votes in South Carolina, polls surprise in Massachusetts, the Heritage Foundation's big number on the cost of immigration reform draws fire from both sides of the aisle, and everyone wants to know about Chris Christie's lap band. I'm Neil Conan, political junkie Ken Rudin's back with all that, plus a trivia question, of course, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News, this afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Thousands of artworks that Nazis plundered from European Jews have yet to be claimed. Now French authorities are renewing their efforts to find the owners and their descendants.
I only wish my grandfather were here to be able to be part of all this, but I'm sure he's watching from somewhere upstairs.
That story today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI 89.1 FM. It's 12:53, and if you have a question or comment, you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post right on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me is Dr. Douglas Neild. He's with the Lutheran Medical Group here in town, and we've been answering your spring allergy questions. We have one last caller on the line, Clayton. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning.
Morning, Clayton.
Good morning, Dr. Neil. Dr. Neil, I wanted to make more of a comment than ask a question. I'm an old man. I'm in my early 80s. And when I was at my very early 30s, all of a sudden in the spring, my nose literally froze up and couldn't breathe. So I went to an allergist and took all the tests, said he was allergic to 12 things, made up the serum, and gave me the shots. I very religiously got my shots. I made sure I got them right when I was supposed to.
Sure.
And I kept this up to when I was getting them one a month, and I kept it up for 10 years, which was way overkill, I know, but I really did not want that to come back. So after 10 years, I figured, the doctor said, I think that's long enough. So I stopped. Now, my point is, not only have I never had an allergy attack since, neither have I had any sinus, which I used to have rather tremendously. I have had almost no colds, almost nothing. I just wanted to comment because my friend said, oh, I did those shots and they didn't work. The point is, I don't think they religiously got them when they were supposed to.
Well, that might be part of it, but there are definitely people that are responders like you that did very well with the shots. And then there are other people that only respond so well. There's a small percentage of people that really don't respond at all to allergy shots. Yeah, and it depends on the dosages that are used. You have to use the correct dosage. We have much better extracts now than there were available 50 years ago.
Now, they've been up that long.
Yeah, so There's a lot of factors that go into it. I wish that everybody responded the same, but that would be like saying that 500 milligrams of Tylenol is going to take care of a headache for everybody, and that's mm-hmm. just not true.
Mm-hmm. But Clayton, we're very glad to hear that they worked for you, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story, maybe inspiring someone else to pick up the phone and find out more about allergy shots. So thank you. We have one last caller on the line. Pat, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
I have a question. I was listening to your program earlier about having constant nose running, which I suffer with. You alluded to the fact there are, quote-unquote, other treatments other than the Sudafed, I guess.
Sure.
I use ipratropium bromide, which is partially successful. I'm concerned about I'd like something better. Also, if I use it year-round, are there long-term effects that could cause any other problem?
The type of medicine that he's using is very good at drying secretions, okay? But it really doesn't do much for any underlying, say, allergic problems. Mm-hmm. So we tend to use this in people, say, in adults that have the type of rhinitis that we would call that's non-allergic. You do the testing and there's nothing shows up. So it can help symptomatically. The only problems you can run into is that sometimes you can get the nose too dry. If dosages were very, very high, it might interfere or you might absorb enough to cause some eye problems. And that's very, very rare. I haven't personally seen it. I've only just seen it in print that it's, you know, a theoretical concern mm-hmm. or a theoretical risk. But that's a type of medicine that helps to dry. There are nasal steroids that are available, and there's also some nasal antihistamines that are available. There are different kinds of medications that might give him better relief.
And just wondering, if you're taking a medication that does cause dryness, I mean, can something like a neti pot create some moisture at all? I mean, is it a good counterbalance at all?
Sometimes we'll do that. We'll have people use a neti pot or sinus lavage once a day and then combine it with some of these sprays so that mm-hmm. they don't get too dry, or if they start to get crusty, that it clears everything out.
Mm-hmm. We have just about a minute left in today's program. Dr. Neil, and I want to make sure I leave you with the last word. What should folks be taking away from today's program?
Well, allergy can occur at any age. Most common allergic diseases are allergic rhinitis or hay fever, asthma, eczema, other things that they might be concerned about going forward in the summer, bee stings. So if you have a very severe reaction to bee sting and you need to go to the emergency room or you need to use an EpiPen, that's when you need to see not just your doctor, but ask to see an allergist. There's mm-hmm. actually the allergy shots we have for bee stings are the best that we have.
Mm-hmm. Great. And if you would like to get in touch with Dr. Neild, we have his contact information on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. And you can like us there and leave any questions or comments that you have as well. But thank you so much for being a part of Midday Matters today.
Well, thanks for having me, Sarah.
This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. And we're streaming online at NIPR.FM, where this episode of Midday Matters will be posted in just a few hours. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University, and we're supported by listeners like you. Thank you. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.